Welcome back to another episode of the Freedom Train podcast series, one of the greatest podcasts you have ever heard in your entire life. I am Joseph Ward, and as I told you before, when it comes to these interviews, my man Pat, he kind of shy, he's behind the scenes, man. So I'm doing an interview by myself. So this is my world, this is my lane. So welcome into my world right here on the Freedom Train podcast series. Remember, we are sponsored by PACS Inc. That's PACTSINC. And PACS Inc. is a Black advocacy group that has a lot of resources and does a lot in a number of different communities to help uplift and revitalize and empower our community. So make sure you go to their website to check them out at www.pactsinc.org. And while you're online, make sure you visit our Freedom Train website at www.freedomtrainradio.com. That way you can learn more about myself, Patrick Irving, Enigma September, Queen Shelby, Queen Candace, and all the good podcasting that we have going on over there. So yeah, tune in. Y'all know how we do it. For if you're a first-time person, you in for a treat. And all of our returning viewers and listeners, you in for a treat. Everybody in YouTube land, everybody in podcast land, sit down, buckle your seat up, pull your pen and pad out, because we got a gentleman here who has done a lot, right? So political season or election season is coming up. So the way I look at it is, I'm not even thinking about you as a candidate if I haven't seen you out here in this community. And that's one of the great things about this gentleman. I've been out here in these Tallahassee streets for a while, and so has he. He created something called Working Class Wednesdays. And Working Class Wednesdays literally revitalized the entrepreneurship scene in Tallahassee. He's a part of the Minority Chamber of Commerce, and he's literally helping so many people realize their dreams and start their businesses. He is the host of Capital Connections, which is on Heaven 98.3 FM, and it's live every Friday at 12 p.m. here in Tallahassee, Florida. He is now running for Leon County District 1 County Commissioner. And when I tell you, this gentleman is the truth. This gentleman is about what he said he's going to do. If he say he's going to do it, he's going to do it. And you can go come in Tallahassee and count the number of people who he's helped. So this is not no smoke and mirrors, none of these things. You know, we don't do that over here on the Freedom Train. So I want y'all and podcast land and YouTube land to put y'all hands together for my homie, Mr. Aaron L. Barber. What's going on, man?
Hey, man. First of all, Joseph, Mr. Ward, man, thank you. Thank you so much, man. I'm elated that, you know, to be able to grace your platform.
Hey, man.
Be on the Freedom Train today with you, man. Like you say, man, Tallahassee born and raised, you know, just here trying to, you know, making sure that something I do not only leaves my community, my city, my county a better place, but hopefully the world.
Right.
Like God ordains us, you know, as of course you feel led to empower and teach and do all the things that you do in the community. I feel like God chose a certain platform and a certain avenue, a certain lane, so to speak, for me. And I'm just praying that I, you know, I'm able to live up to not only my expectations and my community's expectation, but God's expectations as well. So,
there,
man, I'm happy to be here with you today, brother. You know, hopefully we can help shed some light on some things and educate some folks together today. So, man, thank you once again, man. And thank you to all your listeners for thinking they're not robbery to take the time out of their busy schedule, man, and to take a listen to us today.
Hey, man, you know, like I say, this platform is for the people, and this platform definitely for people like you who take the time out to pour into the community. So, like I say, it's amazing what I see going on in Tallahassee as compared to maybe 10 years ago when it comes to the entrepreneurial scene, or even maybe 7 years ago when it comes to the entrepreneurial scene. Mm-hmm. So what you, the foundation that you have laid, others can come and build upon. So definitely shouts out and give props to you for that.
I appreciate that, brother.
No problem.
I appreciate that. So
what inspired you? Because, well, first of all, for those who don't know, like, kind of give a bit of your background information about you and your foundation here in Tallahassee.
Well, man, like I said, born and raised here in Tallahassee, Florida. Mother and father both from Tallahassee. My father, of course, was an entrepreneur. Ever since I can remember, he had his own construction company. My mother actually was one of the longest tenured employees for Leon County. I believe she worked for the Leon County Public Library system, I want to say, for 43 years. Wow. Ever since she was like 16 years old, worked her way all the way to administration with the county. So I'm very well versed with the dealings of the county and some of the pros and cons of county administration. I've watched my father, not only my father, but my uncles own several businesses. I myself have owned several businesses here in the community, such as my uncle and father used to own the Allen Shannon Indoor Flea Market, Exclusive Fashions. I've owned marketing companies, Heart of the City Entertainment. We've done so much in this community. I have family. I have uncles that firefighters and everything else. I mean, like when you hear the name Barber, I mean, people know my family has deep roots in this community, not only in Frenchtown, but Southside and pretty much every black neighborhood in this community. We have touched some way, somehow. Myself, I graduated from Rickers High School. I'm a redskin for life. You know, no offense to anyone. But yeah, I graduated from Tallahassee Community College. Had the opportunity to go back and serve on their board. Had the opportunity to participate and be in their Black History calendar at my alma mater, which I
thought was
amazing. Moved on to Florida A&M University. Just have been trying to help empower folks. And like you said, Working Class Wednesday. Is it time for me to touch on that? I'll touch on it now. Is that part of my background?
Yet. Okay. Not yet. Yeah, not, so yet. Not yet.
That's pretty much my background in a nutshell. I've been a parent here. I've raised kids through our Leon County school system. Recently engaged. So, you know, shout out
congratulations,
to my
fiance, man.
I can't mention myself without mentioning her.
Yes, anyway. Sir. Yes, sir. Hey,
so
man,
God
look, we
good, man.
We promote black love around here, man. Hey, man.
Listen, I love it. I love
get
it.
Get in it and make it work.
Boy, it feels good loving somebody when somebody love you back.
There you go. So,
yes, sir.
So with all that going on,
yes,
what inspired you to run for the Leon County Commission District 1 seat? What inspired you to run for that seat?
Well, I'll tell you this, Joseph. I've never wanted to be a politician, and I still don't want to be a politician. I think that with just the term politician comes the stigma along with it. I don't really like to play politics. I think that what local elected officials should do is allow the locals who elected them to help guide them into the decision-making processes to steer their vote. Of course, the county commissioners only have one vote on the panel. And of course, you have to build consensus with the other commissioners when voting on certain issues. And I think that right now, our current commission in our district is unable to build consistency in building consensus with the other voters on the panel. There's a void in my community. Of course, I've lived here my entire life, and I've just seen the disparities in District 1. And I have the utmost respect for our current commission. I say that over and over again because I do think that it's an ongoing struggle. It's a battle.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, but I also think it's a battle worth fighting. And I think that with fresh ideas and new blood, it takes a passing of the baton, I think, in order to continue moving the needle. Right now, of course, 32304 is the poorest zip code in the state of Florida.
State of Florida?
Yeah, the state of Florida. 32304 right now has been deemed the poorest per capita zip code in
the
state.
That's two streets over. I can walk.
Yes,
be in the area
yes,
code
sir.
Five
a lot
minutes.
Of Griffin Heights on out to all the way out to by Bluntstown. Yeah, 32304. Actually, and also the Dope Campbell Stadium.
Right
in the middle.
Right.
32304 zip code. With that being the point, right now we have also, and I'll just give you some data because sometimes I don't just want to be emotionally driven. I want to make sure that the data supports my ideas, and that way I know that when I walk into these rooms, I'll be educated enough to, you know, have these conversations, especially when you're going to be in a debate with someone who's been studying this thing since I was in the 10th grade.
Exactly.
So, right now we have the highest juvenile incarceration rate in the state of Florida. That means that we lock up per capita more juveniles, more children than any county per capita in the state of Florida. Most recently, Sheriff Walt McNeil came out with a study entitled The Anatomy of a Homicide. And in his study, in these findings, it came out that most homicides are committed by young Black males who went through certain of the same processes, of course, like secondary schooling, mm-hmm. had gone to juvenile before. And the key factor to me was most of these black males came from my district.
Right.
So with all of these things being said and still no interaction with the public as to how we can fix these things. Right now, the poverty rate over the last 10 years has gone up 3%. That means that we're getting poorer, we're getting more violent, we're locking up more children. And right now, of course, one of the biggest things in the news about the commission and their dealings was the FSU vote, the Dope Campbell vote.
Right.
We just gave $26 million to Dope Campbell Stadium for economic development. As I said before, Dope Campbell Stadium sits in the middle of the poorest zip code in the state of Florida. And I think that we had a big town hall meeting about it. And I said, I won't today, brother, to save this for a later date. I won't discuss how I feel. But right. when the community comes out, when there's an outpouring of outcry from the community that this is not what we want. The town hall was held right in the heart of our district at the mm-hmm. Lincoln Neighborhood Center. And mm-hmm. each and every person that stood up went against it. I think that it's your duty as commissioner to find people in your district who agree with the decisions that you are making when it comes right. to tax dollars that come from within your right. district. So all these things together became a culmination of, I feel like it's just time for new leadership, man. It's time for change. I think it's time for more public engagement. Like, it's time for me to call Joseph Ward. Like, Joseph, I know all the things you're doing in the community. I need to have a sit down with you so you can tell me about some of the, because as a commissioner, I understand that I won't have the time that I have now to be out
right.
in the community every day, because of course somebody got to sit behind that desk. But like,
you got to do what you got to do.
I have an assistant. Joe, I'm going to have my people call your people, you know, and I'm going to have them set up a meeting right. so that we can come and we can talk about these things, because there's no way that I could possibly know all these things without tapping right. Joseph on the shoulder. Like, hey man, I need to commit this, create this committee of stakeholders who are out in the community to educate myself before I can educate my fellow commissioners. So those are the things that led me to want to run.
And that's beautiful. I knew Tallahassee had some issues, because you know, mm-hmm. I'm one of the main sexual health and HIV AIDS yes, prevention sir. People. So from the sexual health side, I knew we wasn't doing good in Tallahassee.
Mm-hmm.
I knew a bit about the economics, but I didn't know like the crime rates and things like
yes,
that.
Sir.
So, okay. So with all that being said, this is the city you're fighting for.
Yes, sir.
So explain to people what makes Tallahassee such a great city and how Tallahassee helped make you into the man you are today.
I tell you what makes, and it's kind of oxymoronic, what makes Tallahassee so wonderful. It's a tale of several different cities within each other.
Yes.
Tallahassee, I'll tell you this, I love my community, but my community has the potential to be so much greater. If
yes.
I can just get actual native, homegrown, I mean, they're starting to call us, I'm going to come back to that. I can't remember the word. Indigenous is what one of the city commissioners referred to local okay. people on the south side when they were talking about tearing down the south side
right.
Housing project. He referred right. to them as the indigenous people of the south side. And I was like, wow. You know, last time I heard okay. that, we were talking about the American Indians.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
We all know what happened, you know.
Right,
you know, we'll
right.
stay away from that as well. But that's how he referenced us as indigenous people of the south side. And I think that what we have here in Tallahassee, it gives you a gateway. If you want to be somewhere, if you are a local, if you are from Tallahassee and you really want to move the needle and you really want to make a difference in your community, you really can, because there's not a lot of us doing it.
Right.
And I know you see this all the time. So when I'm in these rooms, like I was in Leadership Tallahassee, all these other, you know, these great accolades, and I look around the room of what's been deemed local leadership, and none of these people are from Tallahassee. And when I say from Tallahassee, I don't mean moving to Tallahassee for college, and now you've decided to stay here. No, you're a conquistador.
Born and raised.
If we're indigenous, you're a conquistador. You know, you came here searching for opportunity. There's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
But what I found is, and why I lead this charge so diligently, is because you can't come to a neighborhood that you're not from. And this is across the board anywhere. I don't understand. Maybe I need to move somewhere else, but I visited Charlotte, one of the most developing African-American small business communities in the country right now, of course, Atlanta. You don't come to a community and stake claim as leaders of a community without first consulting with the actual indigenous people of said community.
Right.
So what I found is when I go into these boardrooms downtown, I don't want to get off the subject, but I think this is all relevant. What I found is, and what led me to want, and what made me such a prominent, I don't want to call myself prominent, but that's what people call me, so I'm going to wear it. So I found is that when you're downtown, we have representation of our communities. We have representation of the South Side, representation of Bond, representation of every Black community in this city. But when you look around, none of these people are actually from these communities. And I think that what made me want to do a lot of the things I'm doing now is I feel like Black businesses and Black neighborhoods hire Black people. That's why I got behind this cultivation of this economic ecosystem that is called Black-owned business in this community. I think that someone should be sounding the alarm to Black people to not only run businesses, but actually own brick and mortar businesses, not actually just lease and rent from people. Because right now, with the infrastructure coming into our communities, it's going to usher in gentrification. At this point, I don't know how we're going to stop it. But I mean, this was in Blueprint 2020. This was 22 years ago when someone could have sounded the alarm and said, you know, like, we're going to be developing these areas of town that are blighting right now, instead of waiting for them to get so poor that now that these new infrastructures are coming in, and now that rent is going to hike, you know, leases are going to hike, you're not going to be able to afford, we're tearing down affordable housing. There's not enough affordable housing for people right now. There's this big study going on that affordable housing is in trouble because we're not building enough houses. Of course, where there's not enough supply for demand, prices rise. So we're not building enough houses fast enough, and the houses we are building aren't considered affordable when it comes to the Black median income in our community.
Right.
So all of these things together, man, are what like made me want to continue to push. Of course, raising a child through this Leon County school system by myself, and you know, just all these things, brother. Like, and it could have went a lot of different ways, but I feel like either some people will sit around and talk about what the problems are, and some people sit down and try to figure out the solutions. And I want to be as solution based as I possibly can.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you because this is a good city. This is a beautiful city.
This is a city where,
like you said, if you serious about making something of yourself, you can make something of yourself here in Tallahassee. There's opportunity in Tallahassee, but it could be a lot more.
Right.
I believe one, if we work together.
Work together, absolutely.
You know,
absolutely. And I think we also have to be transparent about who we are working with.
Right.
Because I mean, you know, and I don't want to throw this out, but I mean, even the Minister Farrakhan, and I'm not a Muslim, mm-hmm. but I mean, I respect all everyone's religion. But I just heard him in a speech the other day, and he was like, "The oppressor will handpick certain people,
exactly,
who put in place to make sure that you remain exactly where you are." And I think that we have to have enough local, homegrown leadership who have roots in this community, grandmothers, grandfathers, uncles, aunties, nieces, and nephews right here in this community mm-hmm. to be able to stand up for us. Because if not, it's a college town. And most of our leadership now, no offense to the universities, I think what Florida State brings and what FAMU brings and what TCC brings to our city is what makes our city, is a part of the reason that our city is such a great city. But we cannot overlook the fact that we have actual people and families here in this community live a rock's throw from FAMU who've never been in a FAMU football game.
Right.
You know, we cannot forget about those people who are working every day trying just to make ends meet. And I want to be the voice for not only the people at the university, but for those people as well.
There you go. There you go. And I, like I said, once again, you know, I'm with you with what you're doing, because
and I appreciate it, bro.
I mean, but we need change. Because I'm often frustrated, and I talk with my man Pat about it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm often frustrated because, you know, we've been working in these communities a lot. You know, me, especially the work I've been doing with Linked Up, me, Frog, Shelby, Candace, all that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And doing great work. Looking at the stuff you're doing, looking at the stuff Sam Carter doing, looking at the stuff Christy Henry's doing, looking at the stuff Talithia's doing, looking at the stuff Miss Nicole is doing, just everybody that we know who are out here really pushing it, but it feels like it's not enough. And that's the frustrating part, because you want to see change, but you're not really seeing it, but you know you see the work being put in by the people.
Right.
And it's, right. Well, maybe we need to do something different. Maybe we need to tweak how we do this or do that or whatever. But, and you know, on another note, we always talked about having, like when it comes to politics, having somebody from the community representing us in the politics. So we need to make sure we be rallying around you.
I appreciate it, brother.
For real.
It's going to take all of us.
Look, if you directly from the community, and if we always talk about having somebody from the community being in there, so all right, here you go. We need to, you and everybody else who's from the community, who about the community, we need to be rallying around you all.
I totally agree.
Because that's how you support your candidates. Yeah, that's how we keep our candidates in there.
Right. I mean, this community is my heart and soul. I mean, like I say, like, this is the place that made me. It raised me, it cultivated me, whether it was good or bad. You know, I think I've been on in every aspect of this community. I think that I've seen it. You know?
Right, right.
And I'm not ashamed of anything. I've grown up a single mother household for a long time. I've gotten my fair share of issues growing up. You know, like I said, raised a child who had his fair share of issues. I got one, you know, that went on to Howard University. I mean, I've just experienced so many things right here in this community. And yet, here I am. I'm ready to put it all, lay it all on the line, brother, to try and make some changes, you know, in this community.
Well, hey, man, just know you ain't by yourself.
Yes, sir. I know. I see you. I see you on the battlefield all the time, Mr.
Hey, man.
I appreciate you for all
ain't
that
no
you
thing, do. Man. We out here. Like, it's the people in this community who be putting in real work. Y'all, I'm with you.
Man, listen.
Just know that.
And I want to give a quick shout out to my brother Henry Lynn and Anthony Rivers over in the Bond community. I watched them host events, you know, Thanksgiving, Christmas toy drive, New Year's Day fireworks. Mm-hmm. What I noticed was that we don't have to wait for help.
We don't.
We come together as a community. Like, we don't have to wait for help. Like, I saw them put on the biggest Christmas toy drive I've ever seen, with no sponsorships, no cameras,
right,
no news coverage.
Right.
Like, they just wanted to do it. Some brothers came together, some black business owners, some black male business owners came together, and they pulled all these things off, man. So shout out to my brother Anthony Rivers, Dante Rivers, Henry Lynn, all those guys over there in the Bond community, man, making impactful.
Shout out to those gentlemen.
And into the end. And those are what I call local home. And those are the people that need a seat at the table.
Right.
I think that right now our commission feels that they are so, you know, edumacated that they don't have to come down and deal with folks who are actually in the community, been running businesses for 15, 20, 25 years in these communities, who are actually giving back to these communities, and have a word with them. If you want to know how to fix the kids, talk to people who've gone through something. Like, I can't, I hate when I get on Zoom calls and we're talking about crime rates and gun possession charges and things, and everybody on the Zoom, most of them have never been to Facebook jail before. So it's like, who made you
know
experts?
You don't know. You got to go talk to those people who've been there.
Have some lived experience,
right?
When
right
it comes to these things, and I think that detachment is a big part of why we are.
I also tell people, you can't help who you don't know.
If you don't
really know me, you can't really help me, because you're going to assume what I need versus give me what I really need.
And you're not going to know how to communicate with me. There's a barrier. You know? And I just thank God I've been privy to be, you know, from whatever house to the White House, I want to say, brother.
You know? You go. Nah, I got you. Amen.
You know, adjust my vernacular for whatever room I may be in.
There you go. We can maneuver in many crowds.
Yes, sir.
But speaking of not waiting on nobody to give us nothing. Speaking of being, well, thinking outside of the box, mm-hmm. Being creative.
Yes, sir.
Working Class Wednesday.
Yes, sir.
You created something called Working Class Wednesdays that really sparked the entrepreneur community here in Tallahassee. Because I, you know, I'm sitting back. I think I got one at the time. I got one book. I put my book out, and then next thing I know, there's an event, Working Class Wednesdays. My first one was at the club on Pensacola. I forgot the name of it at the time.
Play.
It was on, yeah, Play. Club Play, yes, Club yes, Play sir. On Pensacola.
Yeah, that was probably, may have been the first one.
One of them, look,
yeah,
it was a great thing to go to, and it was different than other like entrepreneur or little small business things that we got put together in the city, but it was something that was consistent, and it's still right. consistent, it's still going on now. So for those who don't know, explain to them what Working Class Wednesdays
is. Working Class Wednesday, we say, is, man, Tallahassee's ultimate networking mixer. What we created was a bridge. Between local minority, Black-owned local business, between the local business ecosystem and the community. As Joseph stated, I believe that one we did at Play, shout out to my partner, Will Stanley, that was a Black-owned club that had just opened. And I felt the need to, if I'm going to do an event, I need to have it here. It was in the evening, I think, in our very first event, it was hosted by Gwen Marshall, Clerk of Courts, mm-hmm. Gwen Marshall. And my brother, attorney Mutaki Akbar. And what we do is we bring folks out. We bring the community out in a relaxed setting. We have speakers. This has derived into, we do now workshops, and we bring folks from banks and folks from we do so many things to try and help cultivate small businesses within our community. We do trade shows where you're able to come out and set up as vendors. And right now we have, without even sponsorships, man, God has made a way to where we at this point basically don't even charge it. These are all right now mostly free events for folks to come out. Like I said, we've been doing this since December of 2016.
Yeah.
So this is the sixth year of Working Class Wednesday. And it's led so many people to want to come out. And I mean, it's just what I tell people all the time, like owning our own real estate and business. Real estate, business, life insurance are three key ways that we as a people can help facilitate generational wealth. Being able to own a business to pass down to our kids, being able to own real estate to be able to pass down our kids, and of course the life insurance once you pass
away. Right.
We'll all put our kids in a position that other demographics of people have been doing for decades. We were on track to do this, but of course I think that, let me see how I should word this, Ward. I think that desegregation was a blow to Black business.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Black people decided that now that we are able to support other better businesses,
why not?
And being that the Black dollar circulates for less time in our communities than any other dollar from any other demographic of people in the entire world, I felt like putting an emphasis on building up those Black, even if you look at any community, the Black church is a business.
Yes.
But it's the pillar of the community. Yes. Like, I feel like if you just look at that model, like I don't care if it's a hurricane, I don't care if it's famine, I don't care what it is. The Black church rarely goes out of business because it's a business. But next to the Black church is the mom and pop stores. It's the car wash, it's the barbershop. These things are what kids on their way to the bus stop get to look at, on their way off the bus get to look at. And I think that we don't teach entrepreneurship and business ownership enough in our community. We do classes now on credit building, wealth building, investments, how to own your own house, how to go from renting to owning. Like, we just try right now to empower not only business owners, but more importantly, aspiring business owners. To come into this realm of things, man, because if not, it's going to be detrimental.
Right. Now, one of the great things I do like is Working Class Wednesday started before the wave or the trend on social media of buy black business.
Did you notice that?
Right.
I never want to say that. publicly.
No, it did. It did. It started before that. But I think one of the problems with the trend, the social media trend, is anybody could post anything on social media.
Right.
And so if we, you just talked about how, you know, wealth is decreasing in our community.
Oh yeah.
And now from Instagram, everybody making $100,000. Everybody got the bag on Instagram, but in reality, that's not true. So kind of tell the people how you help give realistic business and financial information to people that's just not fluff and pandering to them.
Man, it's like every opportunity that I engage in, of course, I sit on the board for the Minority Women Small Business Association up at the Office of Economic Vitality, with Daryl Jones being the chief director. I'm also with the Big Bend Minority Chamber of Commerce. I come across so many opportunities. And what I want to tell people is this, like, the pandemic for Black business, if you had your paperwork straight, if you had everything in order, the pandemic was an absolute blessing for a lot of small businesses. Even right here with the CARES dollars that came in, I stuck my neck out on the line. Listen, I got people that don't even speak to me anymore because of some of the rules that I went against when it came down to giving those grants to small businesses, and then some of the meetings that I had that people walked out on because, you know, I found not loopholes, but, you know, this is what it says. So this is what I told them. And this is what y'all have to do. You know what I mean? Because these people deserve this opportunity just as much as the people who, I mean, you had rich organizations getting millions and millions of dollars in aid when small businesses were still suffering. Of course, it was said that over half of Black businesses throughout the first 2 years of the pandemic would shut their doors, you know?
Right.
And like, those statistics to me were staggering. So also, man, we had workshops on PPP loans, SBA loans. We had workshops on how to obtain CARES dollars. We've helped people. We started what was called the Entrepreneur Resource Center, myself and Brian Wyatt. But we were helping people just set up their business, making sure that everything that you had was in order. My uncle, down at the Peacock Center now, we have a facility coming up on Tharp Street where we're going to be, man, it's going to be a mega, I don't even want to talk about it yet because we haven't really announced, but we have a big situation for minority business, especially in the Frenchtown area, to help aid those businesses. I just think that, man, by networking and also educating, by understanding that working together, as you said before, working together, but also knowing what you're doing. Everyone in our community, don't listen, because you can cook, don't mean you can run a restaurant. You know what I mean? Like, there are certain things that have to be in place. There are certain, you have to cross all your T's. There are certain things that have to be done prior to you opening those doors. Like, what I saw, and that was so discouraging for me, was in the midst of the pandemic, like, people made PPP loan a bad word in the Black community.
Yeah. And it shouldn't have been that way. It didn't need to be that way.
It was aid for small businesses. And we helped a lot of people get absolutely free money from the government, which that's what the money was created for. But what I found in the majority of the businesses, and what made it such a taboo subject in our communities, was a lot of businesses that we tried to assist couldn't qualify because they didn't have their paperwork in order.
Right.
So that's when we did an uptick, and we got a little bit away from the trade shows and the networking and said, you know, we need to start educating people on how to get their business in order so that whenever these sort of opportunities come around, then we're ready to be proactive and not reactive to the situation.
Right, right. Well, I don't say half the stuff that I want to say.
Yeah, I as well.
You know, I have to be
politically correct now.
Right. So, but I also recognize that I really, really, really care about my community and my people.
Absolutely,
and,
brother.
And sometimes I feel like the care could be to a detriment because I'm up late at night frustrated by something that ain't even going on in my house.
Right.
And go ahead.
What I also see is like what drives me so hard is like when we all win.
Right.
And it's like I want to see more opportunity. I'm raising kids in this community, you know, and I do feel like a lot of the issues that I pointed out earlier in this interview are economic issues.
They are.
They are symptoms of economic deprivation in Black communities. Juvenile incarceration, crime rates, all these things are symptoms of not having the access to capital as other neighborhoods and other districts in our community.
Right.
So I think that what you're doing, well, and guess what? You got to be healthy at the same time. You know what I mean?
Got to.
Health is wealth. You
got
know, so
to.
What you're doing and what I do, what I'm doing are synonymous with each other. Not only do you need to put some money in your pocket, but you need to make sure you're healthy at the same time and making, you know, a responsible health
there
choice.
You go.
At the same time, so Mr. Ward, like you don't want to walk around like we on a Night of the Living Dead, you know. So you want to make sure that the community is healthy as much as I want to make sure that the community is prospering economically. So I feel like, you know, what we're both doing, I mean, man, it's a fight worth fighting. But I spend a lot of nights up, you know. Yeah, toss it and turn. Yeah. I know my fiance. I'm surprised she said yes. As much as I talk about stuff like you said, it does not take place.
That's how you know you got a rider, because she gets it. She gets that. She understands what you're doing and how it can help everybody. Man, hey, hold on. Hey, ain't nothing out here in these streets, bro. Hold on. Yes, sir. You mentioned the Minority Chamber of Commerce, For those who may not know what that is, can you explain it to them and how the Minority Chamber of Commerce actually helps to boost the economy of the different people who are part of it, or just the communities?
Okay, what the Big Ben Minority Chamber of Commerce, with our chairman, Sean Pittman, and our president, Antonio Jefferson. The chamber's job is to help litigate at a government, you know, commission level for funding. That's a trickle-down effect to small businesses. The chamber and I created this relationship after Working Class Wednesday. I was actually, to be honest, I was on the verge of creating an organization that focused on Black-owned businesses in our community, because I did not know that one existed. And I'll just be as transparent as possible. And I was contacted by the chamber to go in and talk to them. And I liked a lot of their initiatives and the things that they did have going on. So right now I am the membership director for the Big Ben Minority Chamber of Commerce. So when you see me out doing these grand ribbon cuttings with the live DJ radio remotes and things, that is under the tutelage of the Big Ben Minority Chamber of Commerce, who also advocates for small business at a commission level. We have events such as Working Class Wednesday. They sponsor Working Class Wednesday, but they also host events when a lot of these loan programs come out. They host events on that and other things. And then what the chamber is just a segue. It's a voice. It's a voice in the rooms that most business owners aren't privy to, because they're at their business running their business.
Right.
So most business owners can't attend commission meetings to speak up about allocation of funding and access to capital for small businesses at 3 o'clock on a Thursday, because they're at their business. So that's the chamber's job. That's chambers is to be a voice in a room where the businesses are absent.
Okay. And so how does a business owner or even a community member become a part of the Chamber of Commerce?
Becoming a member of the BBMC is as simple as going on to mybbmc.org. If anyone, I don't know if Joseph's going to post my contact, but if anyone wants to talk about it prior to, you can reach me at my email. That's terrencelbarber@gmail.com. I got a chamber email, but I think I'm locked out of it. So don't email it to that one right now until I talk to Ms. Dana Dudley to get me back into it. But yeah, I mean, like I said, I think it's a great organization for what they're doing in the community. I think that the relationship that Working Class Wednesday has developed with OEV and everybody else in the chambers. And like I said, we work with the Capital City Chamber as well. Working Class Wednesday does. Shout out to Katrina Tuggerson over at the Capital City Chamber. What we do is we are everything Black business. We are everything small business. We are everything minority business. And we are allowed to say Black. I tell people all the time that, you know, under the umbrella of minority still comes white women-owned businesses. I don't feel like the plight of the white woman-owned business is the same as some black male businesses.
Right.
Just being honest and politically correct as possible. There are different hardships. And I feel like we don't put enough emphasis on right. black businesses and black. We need more black-owned businesses in District 1, in Frenchtown, on the south right. side, in Bond. We need more of it. As the infrastructure comes in, we need to make sure that we have businesses in these areas to help sustain the population of indigenous people that live there.
There you go. I mean, look, like, we all we got.
We all we got. We must support, in the literally. Words of my sister Nicole Everett, we must support what we want to keep.
We have to. And what I love about her is she sets a great example for that. She is the epitome of support around these parts.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So, but
support, Nicole is going to be somewhere. Yeah,
straight up. She's going to be around there. She's going to be around there.
Yes, sir. But absolutely.
Those are the things that make a community thrive.
Yes, sir.
And we need to make sure, once again, people, supporting people. Mr. Absolutely. Barber, who about helping? Who about making the community thrive? I mean, just think about all the things that you are a part of. You've helped with the community, even like the Frenchtown Rising. You host Frenchtown Rising.
Frenchtown Rising. Right.
So how did you get connected with Frenchtown Rising?
Yeah, my uncle. Of course, everybody know Kayla Norris Barber, my uncle.
Yes.
He had the idea. He came with the idea, and he told me like a few years back. It was like, I'm thinking about hosting this big event, you know, in Frenchtown, like they do the downtown get down
right
prior
right.
to the FSU football games. And right. he was like, but I'm gonna do it for FAMU home games. And I was like, so you're gonna shut down Macomb Street on a Friday night, put a stage in the middle of the road.
Oh, yeah.
And under his leadership, that's exactly what we did. And this is our third year. Of course, the pandemic shut us down for a year. But I mean, as you saw, man, that's the epitome of what our communities used to look like. If you look back, historically, at what Frenchtown used to be,
yeah.
It used to be Macomb Street was a street lined with black-owned businesses on both sides. And if you just yeah. look at the atmosphere that creates when you have entertainment, that's what Frenchtown was. Entertainment. Mm-hmm. We have vendors of all sorts lining the roads. We have people there shopping and spending money. Like, I think that what we've done with Frenchtown Rising has been one of the greatest economic impacts that Frenchtown has seen in right. years. I mean, other than that, all we've been getting is student housing.
Right.
So, I mean, just to be right. honest, like, and we got what's the place? You pay your light bill, and they built that mm-hmm. building, built the back of it facing the community. You can't even right. get into that. And I think that these are things that I want to bring up and just ask, like, when it comes to the allocation of resources, and when you tell me that you're putting money in our communities, where's it going?
That's all we want to know.
Where's it
that's
going?
That's one of the
what
things
do we know. As a community, what do we have to show for?
Right. But I also think, once again, why it's so important to have that, to be organized and to support, because that's that outside pressure. Because we could do further than just ask the questions. Hey, man, we are part of this. We help making these decisions. So we are helping to make sure this money is allocated in the right places right. because true. We've organized true. Ourselves properly.
True.
So
true story.
Yes, sir. So. And kind of coming back around, what can we expect from you as our commissioner? What are some of your, and you don't have to like go into detail, but just some of your ideas or thoughts that you've had about improving the district, in addition to things that you already have going on with the economic improvement?
Yeah, I think that the first thing that I want to do is create a committee of stakeholders within the community.
Gotcha.
To have a seat at the table. I think that making decisions frivolously, just based on what I feel to be the right thing to do, or based on my own special interest, I think is detrimental when it comes to our community. I think I would love to entertain the idea of a budget by district to ensure that District 1 is receiving the same amount of allocated resources as other districts. I feel like on a micro level, that if District 1 has been receiving the same resources that, you know, Bannerman and other districts have been receiving, then why is the appearance the way it is? So we need to talk about, when we talk about all this money going into infrastructure, we need to make sure that the economic development is there to sustain with all the infrastructure coming in. We need to talk to, we need to make sure that we have affordable housing for people. We need to make sure that we're not waiting until we tear down housing projects to start thinking about where are these displaced people going to live. We need to be entertaining synergy between the universities. We need to be talking about, before we give millions of dollars to universities, we need to understand, why is it that we have a world-renowned entrepreneurial school, maybe the, I think the only one in the United States, which is the Jim Moran Institute at Florida State. We have one of the most world-renowned business schools in SBI at FAMU. We need to be talking about, why is there no synergy, maybe if some, not very much, between local business and these universities. Why is Miss D's down there looking for interns? Or why is Joseph Ward looking for interns when we have universities full of students looking for internships?
Right.
Like, we need to be having these conversations, and we need to be holding these folks accountable. I feel like if I want to be held accountable for everything I do, Joseph, if I do it, I want you to be able to come to me and say, hey, Terrence, that's how, that's the only way we grow, is to be corrected.
Right.
And I think that until we have these town hall meeting situations where we bring the community together and say, okay, this is what's on the agenda for this month, these are the things we're going to be voting for, that are going, this and this, and explaining to people how this is going to affect not only you, but your children, your neighborhood, your children's children. A lot of decisions being made will be affecting our community. Right now, when we give this money to FSU and we gave $10 million to FAMU, that means that the blueprint money for economic development is gone for like the next 7 years. That's it.
Right. Right.
That's it. That's it, is what they're saying. You know, I don't have their numbers. I don't, you know, but that's what they're saying. So these things are going to affect, these decisions are going to affect Black businesses for the next 6-7 years. In case, what if there's another pandemic and the federal government doesn't jump to give us aid? We've depleted all the funds on a local level to help our own businesses in order to create a better situation at football stadiums. So, I mean, like, those are just some of the things, man. Like, I want to make sure I get more community engagement. I didn't understand when I, like I said, when I go into these commission meetings, there are not very many of us,
us
in these meetings until it's a police shooting.
Too late. It's too late.
You know, we are very reactive people.
But, but that's why I'm so, and I keep saying I'm so big on it. Okay. Organizing, organization. Okay. Everybody, like you said earlier, everybody can't go to these 3 o'clock meetings or these odd hour meetings on these weekdays. We have a lot of people at work, but what about the people who can make these meetings?
Right.
So we should be able to have a contingency of people that we send to these meetings. Y'all job is to go to these meetings, collect notes, speak up, go to these meetings prepared. Cause we're gonna make sure you go prepared, collect notes, speak up, do what we need to do, come back, give a thorough report so we can take action from there.
And I mean, we have neighborhood associations in all of these neighborhoods, and I'm not understanding. And like I said, I haven't met with them all yet, but I feel like more engagement with these neighborhood associations and people in these neighborhoods being more engaged with these associations, so that, you know, as commissioner, when I need to reach the neighborhood, or when I really need to reach my community, that there's, like you say, an organized front in order to do so. That would be a big part of my platform.
Right. And also, you know, being able to hold people accountable. I don't think we do a good job of holding our elected officials accountable. And for a lot of people, in my opinion, it's as if they don't think we can. And we are supposed to hold our elected officials accountable for their actions, whether good or bad. And we need to be able to make sure that we can communicate and have those open lines of communication. But we also got to have our stuff together.
Right. And you know, one of the most disturbing facts that I found throughout this campaign was, in order to hold someone accountable, you must first know what they're responsible for. You have to know. You know how many people ask me, so what does a commissioner do?
Right.
Like, they don't even know what the job of a commissioner is. So if you're in an impoverished community and you don't know that your commissioner wants to spend $12 million on the fairgrounds right on the edge of the one of the poorest neighborhoods in the community.
Right.
Economic development. And you don't know that that money could have gone to a rec center or something that you would actually use, not just once a year when the faculty. If you knew that, if you knew that was his job, if you knew that was your voice, that was your one voice. Each district only has one voice. Put it like this. That one voice, District 1, encompasses the majority of Black neighborhoods in our community. That's Providence, mm-hmm. Lake Bradford, Bond, Basin Street, Griffin House, Springfield. All these Black neighborhoods are in this district. And we have one voice.
Yeah.
We have one voice. And that's heartbreaking that some of the decisions being made with only one voice affect so many people.
So with that being said, how will you help these voices be amplified? Because that really rolling, that was great. That rolled to the next question. But helping people voices be amplified. Because like you say, when I'm out, especially doing my HIV outreach, mm-hmm. we're in the trap. Like we're in the trap. But we're running into people who feel like I can talk, but ain't nobody gonna listen. Nobody cares. Right. We're forgotten people. So how do we help those people realize that you do have a voice and show them how to use their voice?
Brother, well, we have to meet people where they are. We have to meet people where they are. A lot of times when you're at these organized events and things in the trap, I'm down there with you.
Yeah, because I know.
We have to meet people where they are. We have to go into the neighborhoods, not just say we represent these neighborhoods. We need to go into these neighborhoods. We need to host these events. We need to bring people together and let them know that this is what's going on. This is your neighborhood. And that these folks downtown gonna care about your neighborhood about just as much as you care about it. Yeah. So if we don't place value in our own communities, if we tend to pretend not to care about our own communities, then they won't either. Like nobody's coming to save us. The only thing that we can do, man, is create an organized collective front and voice our concerns to someone who generally has your best interests at heart.
There you go. I mean, you have to.
And that's what I think elected officials all should live by, is actually doing what's best for their community. And the only way to find that out is to engage your community, is to get out in these communities and talk to people that's actually boots on the ground doing the work.
Right. Like,
that's not how it's being done now. And I'll just leave that at that.
No, yeah. We know we won't change.
Pick it up what I'm putting down.
Hey, man, look. we know we won't change. Now, to be fair, we do want to give credit and respect to those who have put the work in before.
Oh, absolutely.
Elected, because you know, even
it's not an easy job.
The gentleman you were running against, you gotta give him his credit. A lot of times he was the only one fighting for us. Right. A lot of times.
Right.
And so, but that doesn't mean it's not time for change in Tallahassee. And and a lot of people can see it, and a lot of people are talking about it. But not a lot of people are taking the actual steps toward making change. I do want to take this time to salute everybody in Tallahassee, whether you are known or unknown. If you are doing something in this city to make this city better, salute you. Shout out to you. Please, if we don't know you, please connect with us. My contact information, his contact information in the description. Connect with us, because we're going to be better together. We're going to be better together.
And I was always told, Mr. Ward, if you want to go fast, go by yourself. If you want to go far, go with someone else.
There you go.
You know what I mean? We are stronger together, man. And that's all. That's the biggest part of my platform, is bringing my community together, man. Let's work together. Let's get it done. Yes, sir.
So my last question to you, just simple, real simple. Why should people vote for you?
Man, listen, vote for change. Don't vote for me. Vote for you. You know, vote for your kids. Vote for your child having a better school. Vote for better living conditions. Vote for better access to capital. Vote for someone who's going to listen. Vote for someone whose lived experiences match yours. Vote for someone who's been where you've been and can help show you how to come to where he's come. Vote for someone who's lives, breathes, sleeps Tallahassee. Vote for someone who's owned his own business. Vote for someone who has stake in this community. Vote for someone who's going to be there when you need them, who's going to be out and visible in the community when you need them. Vote for someone who's going to set up these meetings so that your voice, so that his voice isn't the only voice being heard. My name is Terrence L. Barber, man. My biggest motivation is you. You know, biggest motivation is my community. I want to see my community better. I want to see my community thrive. I want to see everyone in District 1 be able to be proud of their community. And right now, what the tabloids are saying, with us having the poorest zip code, we got to change that, Mr. Ward. And I'm just a vessel. ASAP. I'm a vessel. Right. You know, you don't have to like me, or you know, you don't have to agree with everything I said, but just know that what I'm doing is genuinely here to try and help make my community a better place.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Look, barberforleon.com is his website. Barberforleon.com. If you want to learn more about him, his campaign, his platform, he told you his why. He told you the who, what, where, when, why, and how. Right? If you want to learn a little more, go to the website. But I'm just saying this, you know, change is inevitable. Change has to happen, but change needs to be good. Absolutely. And it's time for some change. It's time for some good change. So let's make sure we get behind the right people, support the right people, and vote the right people in.
Yes,
barberforleon.com. That's where people can find you. That's your website. But social media, any other ways
people media, can contact you? Social media, Terrence L. Barber for Leon County Commission District 1 on Facebook. My other regular Facebook pages are Terrence L. Barber, Working Class Wednesday on Facebook, WCW Tallahassee on Instagram, Google Working Class Wednesday anywhere. Keep up with our events, the things we're doing for small businesses in the community. Listen, I'll be posting flyers. My radio show each and every Friday on Heaven 98.3 FM, Capital Connections. You hear my voice every Friday at 12 o'clock p.m. I'll be visible. If you go on my website, there's a comment box where you can leave a comment. If you would like to, you know, set up some time, we can come out and either speak via phone or in person. Be sure to leave those comments in that box. I'm just looking forward to, you know, serving my community, brother, in whatever capacity God sees fit.
Amen. And we appreciate it. And like I say, to continue serving your community, because you've already put the work in and you've done a lot. And we have to give you your credit. For me, I'm about giving people their flowers. We ain't sugarcoat. Give me your flowers because you've really helped this community improve. So, man, definitely appreciate you and everything that you do. Shout out to you. Many blessings to you, your family, your whole campaign and everything. You already know, man. I'm a phone call away. You need some, holla at me.
Yes, sir. You know I will. You know I will.
Yes, sir. So, barberforleon.com. Make sure y'all check
it out.
He's Terrence Barber. I am Joseph Ward. Remember our website, www.freedomtrainradio.com. Man, we out of here, man. See y'all.
Appreciate you again, brother. Yes, sir.
Ain't no problem.